Okay, so this is just a little something I've been thinking about in different aspects for quite a long time, ever since back in 1989 with John Philip and Trevor Vector, we published a paper about flow around obstacles, I had a whole bunch of mathematics which I've cut out, which basically showed that when you had an obstacle in steady downward flow, that the potential, the distribution of the potential around the top of the obstacle depended mostly just on the relative size of the obstacles and shape of the obstacle relative to the capillary length of the soil. I haven't got pictures of it with me, but what I did was I compared our analytical solutions using the Gardner soil to a whole bunch of simulations using, I won't say real soils, but at least Van Genuchten soils for the same kinds of geometrical and capillary length parameters. And the two different potential or fields of potential looked very similar. I mean, of course, they weren't exactly the same, but just looking at them, you wouldn't have been able to tell which was which. They were slightly different, but not much. Of course, the contours of Gardner potential or Kirchhoff potential were very similar to the contours of matrix potential from the Van Genuchten model. Of course, when you came down to the water content, that was another matter. But if you stuck with the potential, then it was pretty well independent of soil type except through the capillary length. So I thought, well, in that case you could use the size and shape of the obstacle relative to the capillary length to estimate the downward flux that this obstacle was interrupting by perhaps measuring the potential at the top of an object. So I'll have a little digression and talk about work by my colleagues Richard Sturzeker and Paul Hutchinson in CSIRO Land and Water, and it will be apparent at the end why I'm talking about this first. I did a lot of Hydrus 2D simulations for these guys when they were designing their experiment, and I was able to demonstrate convincingly why it worked and what it did. So Richard Sturzeker's interest is in making irrigation more efficient. And the trouble is that home gardeners or farmers, they don't want to run the risk of under-irrigating their plants, so they just put on a lot of water. They can't see down what's happening in the soil, so very often they put on too much water. And they generate a wetting front, and that wetting front goes way, way down below the root zone before they cut off the water supply. So these guys developed, well, they had all different shapes, and then eventually they settled on something that looks a bit like a funnel. So what it is a kind of funnel for putting in the ground. It's filled with the soil. It has a tube to the surface, which isn't really necessary, and they settled on a model where you have a electric current which, when the soil water becomes saturated at the base of the funnel, because it's sealed off at the bottom, when you have a downward flow of water through the soil, water ends up in the funnel. If and when it becomes saturated, you get some water there which can complete an electric circuit. So the minute that this thing becomes saturated, the circuit is complete, and either perhaps a little flag jumps up or a bell rings or something, and the farmer can cut off the water supply. Simple but effective. And they've patented this and sold a whole bunch of them, I think probably hundreds or thousands of them now. And You can look it up on the under full stop. You can Google it and find lots of stuff about it. So how does it work? It acts as an obstacle in the downward gravitational flow, diverting the flow. And as we showed in our 1989 paper, if you have some kind of obstacle in the downward gravitational flow, water pressure builds up above the obstacle on the top surface. And it may even build up enough so that it becomes saturated, depending on the size of the obstacle and the downward gravitational flow. And but with this funnel-shaped device, well, you could do this with something just shaped like a plate. But because you've got a funnel shape, you get the extra water pressure build-up from the top of the funnel down to the bottom of the funnel. So if you had a funnel that was several metres deep, you would always get water pressure building up and becoming positive at the bottom. So there were a lot of, using simulations, there were a lot of questions about designing the size and shape of it. So this is quite an efficient way of detecting a wetting front. So they talked to various users for it, but they decided to call it a wetting front detector and to market it under that name. And so when the irrigation stops and the wetting front has passed the device, water moves up out of the funnel by capillarity. So it has a kind of, an instrument has a kind of latency period. If there were two wetting fronts coming very close to each other, it wouldn't detect it. This may take, because it's moving against gravity, this may take quite a long time. But what happens eventually is the water moves back up out of the funnel by capillarity, the circuit is broken, and then it's ready to detect the next wetting front. And they recommend to place them, to actually use not just one of these devices, but two, because you want to get an idea of how deep the wetting front goes. So what they recommend is, in fact, to have two of these devices at different depths, one say 20 centimetres, the other 40 centimetres deep, and to have first, so that first one will go off and then the other one. So if only one of them goes off, the farmer isn't applying enough water. If both of them go off, the farmer's applying too much water. So that's, and similarly for furrow irrigation or for sprinkler irrigation. So I want to, in some sense, adapt this idea to measure downward soil water flux. Now, maybe someone else has done this before, I'm not sure. If so, please tell me. So the problem with measuring downward soil water flux in a lot of contexts is that the soil water velocity is often too small to be detectable by a method such as a heat pulse device. It's just too low. But yet, this is still important to know this for recharge, for example. So if you use an obstacle to concentrate the flow in a smaller cross-section and increase the velocity, you can increase the sensitivity of the device. So my idea is to use a funnel in the same way that the full stop device does, but in fact a funnel which allows water to flow out of the bottom. And this catches water from a larger cross-section and concentrates the flow in a much smaller area. And this will then hopefully produce velocities detectable by a soil water flow heat pulse device, for example. So here's some Hydrus 2D simulations. So this is about 10 centimetres each way. And this is an axisymmetric flow where this is the centre of a funnel. And you can see water content. There's a wetting front coming down towards the device. But already water is building up here. And if this was the full stop device, this would be sealed off here and it would be going off when this became saturated. So it become the water, the wetting front is a little deeper, so it's about level with the device and you can see it starting to fill up but also water running out the bottom. And so this is when the wetting front has passed, well, and we've got a steady state, and this is the pressure from hydro. This is the pressure where that from there to about there, where this is the zero end. So you can see that it, in this blue part, it's actually positive pressure, and a little length there. But that's not what the purpose of this device is. I'd need to make the funnel stem somewhat longer, but my idea is to then have a heat pulse device which would need to be calibrated differently, because effectively it'd be one-dimensional flow, not three-dimensional heat flow, or two-dimensional, and then to be able to measure the velocity here. And you might say, well, that's a simple idea. You've got a certain cross-section here, a much larger cross-section here, so the ratio of the flow through there to the flow through there is, say, 100 or whatever. But it's not quite as simple as that. So if we look at the flow velocity, we can, and this is the next best thing to streamlines, we can see that the flow is very high through there, but in fact there's somewhere down about here, there's a stagnation point. So there'll be a stream tube with all the water inside this region going into the funnel, but some of the water going up and around the outside of the funnel. What that means is that this funnel has a catchment area, a circular area in the cross section, over which the water is coming into the funnel, and outside that circular catchment area the water's going out. But this catchment area, as a ratio to the funnel physical area, will unfortunately vary according to the soil type, mainly according to the capillary length alpha, and it will vary slightly with the actual water content, the background water content, and so the backward flux. So you won't get, even for the same soil type, you won't get quite a one-to-one line for the flux, the proportion of the flux going through there as to the flux coming down towards the funnel in the soil. But I believe that the catchment area will depend weakly on the soil water content and hence on the flux value. And using Hydrus2D simulations, it should be possible to design a shape which is to not allow too much flow to escape. For example, it has quite a high, sharp rim on it. And it should be possible to calibrate for the relationship between measured velocity and background flow velocity for particular alpha, and and once you've got an alpha, there'll be a small dependence on the actual flux. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. So please, if that's all been done before, please tell me. If you think it's a stupid idea, tell me. If you think it's a good idea, tell me too.